The radar beeped suddenly, making everybody jump, and Kate studied their location on the map on the ceiling. Yeah, somewhere near here, the town of Lubbock used to be. The radar was picking up the shattered ruins. But that was Mutiland now, with nothing to find but death. The things in the ruins were unlike any other creature in the Deathlands. Twisted monstrosities that couldn't leave the Great Salt any more than green plants could live in a glass lake. Born in the ancient rad storms, they now had to live in the rad pit and couldn't leave. Which was so much the better for Norms from what she had heard.
What the fuck is that?
Jake leaned into the controls. The purr of the tandem engines eased as the pneumatic brake slowed the rig to a mere crawl.
Trouble?
Kate glanced about. There was nothing in sight but some dark sand ahead. The glowing ruins of Lubbock were a long way in the distance.
Get the missiles hot. Anything comes our way, launch on sight.
As the techs got busy, Kate didn't want to contradict the man, even though she doubted the weapons would be necessary. But it was always better to be armed than not. The tech Jessica craned her neck to look out the windows.
What do you see, Jake?
Jake angled the wag to roll alongside the dark line in the sand.
On our right.
Then the trader looked again at the flowing material and realized it wasn't moving to the motion of the wind, but against it.
Vid!
An external camera swung that way and zoomed in for a tight view. As the screen cleared, Kate could tell the moving line wasn't sand or salt, but mud. A dirty stream of wet sand.
Holy shit! It stretches for miles. A stream of water.
Ha! In the middle of the Great Salt? Impossible.
The hell it is.
Kate was unable to tear her eyes away from the incredible sight.
Full halt!
She scowled as the war wag crested a low dune. Now before them was a muddy flatland stretching to the horizon. Roberto swiveled in his chair.
This was desert only a couple of months ago. Now I've seen acid rain turn grassland into desert, but never the reverse. Where the nuke in hell did this much water come from?
We can follow the stream to find out.
Eric here, Chief. I have blaster fired to the port side, coming in fast. And something else, another sound. I can't really tell what it is for sure. Maybe rain, or a lot of folks bleeding bad, or...
Splashing. It's goddamn splashing, isn't it?
Could be. But that can't be right. We're in the middle of the Deathlands. Ain't no water for hundreds of miles.
There is now.
The trader rose from her chair and went to the periscope near a blaster rack. Raising the Navy device to its full height, Kate pressed her face to the cracked eyepiece and slowly turned for a full sweep, staying hunched over, hands on the guideposts.
Found them. 10-12 men on foot to the east, 200 yards.
Kate stood and lowered the periscope into the floor.
Get razor, people. They got a swarm of millipedes on their ass.
How many?
Too many.
Lock and load. Close all ports. We go on canned air right now.
A series of hard slams sounded throughout the entire length of the vehicle as the war wag sealed every opening with sheet steel. Then the ceiling lights and control boards dimmed for a moment as the air conditioners kicked on and a cool breeze started blowing from the ceiling vents. Then every blaster turned toward the strangers from the east and the horde of slavering muties closed behind them.
Son of a bitch!
JB put a long spray from the Uzi into the face of the sectoid hunter. Ryan fired his Steyr SSG-70 as fast as he could work the bolt.
Outside!
Firing every step of the way, the companions backed out of the supermarket when Christie cut loose with the H&H Nitro Express. The first 475 round glanced off the droid, denting the alloy rod of its torso, the ricochet whining away into the distance. The second hit the joint of the left arm, ripping away the cover plating. Instantly, Ryan concentrated his long blaster there, the 7.62mm rounds slamming into the exposed gears and freezing the arm in position. But the spinning buzzsaw at the end of the ferroed arm never slowed. As the machine came through the smashed windows of the pre-dark building, Doc held the Lama in a two-handed grip, waiting an insanely long moment before firing.
None shall pass.
The left eye lens shattered from the impact, and the droid started for the Scholar as he fired a fast four times, trying for the other eye, but missing. Moving among the dead cars, the companions tripped several times on the dried corpses on the black pavement. This was the worst place to hold a fight. Working the bolt on her Remington Long Blaster, Mildred fired twice at a car near the droid, the rounds punching neat holes through the hood of the vehicle, but failing to ignite the engine. The gas tanks were as dry as dust. Leaving the sidewalk, the droid bumped into a car, and the desiccated corpse behind the steering wheel fell over. With blinding speed, the droid rammed its buzzsaw through the glass to behead the dead woman and the passenger beyond. Jack hit the good eye twice, with no result, except for making the machine slow its advance slightly. He thumbed fresh rounds into the side port of the Winchester.
Any grins?
Nothing. Lost the last implo grin escaping from the Ville.
Slinging the Steyr, Ryan drew the Sig Sauer and started firing steadily, hitting the sectroid every time. Dean launched a quarrel from his heavy crossbow that glanced off the droid's body. Stepping behind a luxury car as protection, Doc holstered the Lama and drew the Webley to fire a fast six times, hitting the droid only on the left side. The sheer force of the booming hardball ammo cut nicks into the shiny chrome rod body, making it spin once, momentarily out of control. As it faced the wrong direction, Christie fired the H&H Nitro, hoping the rear armor might be thinner than the front. The massive 475 Nitro round put a dent in its domed head the size of a fist, but nothing more.
How many more?
Last round!
Christie shoved a single fat 475 round into the breech of the elephant rifle.
Save it!
Walking backward onto the curb, the woman nodded and drew her SMW-38 to fire twice at the droid. Holding a breath to steady his aim, Dean launched another iron quarrel. But this time, the bolt smacked into the ruin of the broken lenses and went halfway into the dome. The machine froze motionless for a long time, and the companions took the opportunity to run for more distance. Sparks cracking along the conductive shaft of the arrow, the machine removed the quarrel from its head with a set of pinchers, then made loud clicking noises before starting after the escaping companions. The hole was now covered with steel leaves.
Fire blast. It's self-repairing.
Grimacing in rage, Ryan tried for the opening anyway, but the machine was now keeping its weak point turned away from them.
Sign!
The rest of the companions copied her angle and threw a hail of lead at a large hanging neon sign. Under the brutal pounding, the corroded supports ripped free from the brick building, and it plummeted straight down onto the sidewalk. It missed the droid by mere inches. Going around the obstruction, the droid continued relentlessly after its prey, its buzzsaws whining loudly as the telescoping arms extended for a kill.
Get thee back, Garion!
The first round punched a hole in a fire plug with no result whatsoever, and the second struck the gas tank of a police motorcycle, making the corpse fall off the bike. The droid attacked the movement in mindless fury. Ryan and JB maintained a steady fusillade as they backed into view past the corner. Then Mildred, Jack, and Christie gave cover fire so the two men could reload their blasters.
This isn't accomplishing shit! We need a bazooka!
Abandoning the heavy crossbow and quiver for speed, Dean glanced at a fire station across the crowded street. From here, he could see the formidable axes hanging in the wall, the adamantine alloy blades designed to cut through lesser metals. The idea appealed to him for only a moment when he realized that using the axe would put him within reach of the buzzsaw. Then the boy caught a whiff of smoke in the air. They had to be near the burning fuel truck. But try as he might, Dean couldn't think of a tactic that might be useful in this fight. Snapping off shots from the Sig Sauer, Ryan glanced in every direction to try to find something useful in the pre-dark city. Then he spied the fire station. Yeah, that might just work. In a flash, the man started sprinting through the maze of vehicles and disappeared inside the station.
Here it comes!
A jam caught in the Uzi's ejector port, and he feverishly worked the arming bolt to clear the bent brass to start shooting again. The rest of the companions maintained their fire while retreating from the machine. Unlike its brethren found inside certain redoubts, this one was in perfect working condition, and if it had been armed with any kind of a distance weapon, they would all have been chilled by now. But most droids had not been designed to commit wholesale slaughter, but to act more as a terror weapon, built to deter people from entering top-secret facilities like the redoubts. Moving into the street again, the companion shot at the droid and threw the occasional round into the fuel tanks of the cars that were in better condition, hoping for an explosion that never happened. Shoving a pizza van aside, the Sec Hunter droid charged for the companions, and they turned and ran. But as they passed the fire truck parked before the station, there came the sound of running boots, and Ryan appeared on top of the cab with a shining axe in one hand and a cloth bundle in the other. At the noise, the droid turned, and Ryan spun out the fireproof blanket to cover the machine. As it raised both buzzsaws to cut away the heavy material, Ryan jumped from the top of the cab, swinging the axe with all of his strength. The axe struck the right buzzsaw, shattering the spinning blade with a ringing crash. He dove aside.
Now!
As the droid removed the blanket, Christy, standing only a few yards away, fired. The muzzle flash from the H&H almost touching the machine as the remaining red lens shattered into a million pieces. Recoiling to ride the force of the blow, the Sec Hunter droid rallied within seconds, blindly thrusting out its remaining blade to hit cars, walls, and lampposts. Now the companions hammered the damaged machine with blaster fire as slim, burnished rods rose from within the armored body. Bending and flexing, the antennae probed the air, and then once more, the Hunter started forward.